like to talk to you today about trusting in Yahweh. I don't know if you realize this, but the middle of the Bible, we're given a core understanding, I think, of the overall attitude and how we should be towards our Heavenly Father. It says in Psalm 118, you don't have to turn there, but 118 and verse 9, it says, "It is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in men." And certainly there are a lot of people putting confidence in men, putting confidence in themselves, and not putting confidence in Yahweh, not fearing Him as they should. And it's a shame because they're on the broad way, and we know where the broad way leads. We know there are certain individuals that have striven to do the best they can, and I think President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, was a good example. You know, he was taught to study the Bible. He was taught to memorize scriptures, as his mother helped him to understand that he needed the word of Yahweh in his life. He didn't necessarily understand the name, but he put his faith in the Heavenly Father as best as he could. And he was a self-taught man, but of all the studies and books that he held dear to him, I think the biblical studies and the Bible itself, he held close. And in his Bible, it was noted that Psalm 37 is thumb-marked. That means he went to it quite often, evidently. When you turn there in 37, in verse 1, it starts out, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Don't worry. Trust in Yahweh is basically what it's saying. In verse 7 it says, "Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently on Him." When we look at the word trust in the dictionary, we find that trust is defined as assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. How strong is Yahweh's character? How strong is He? Certainly we can trust in Him. Some synonyms for trust is faith, belief, confidence, and hope. And I think when we trust in Yahweh, we're trusting in His promises. I think we're trusting in His character. We're trusting in Him to do those things which He says He'll do. And He does say that He'll protect us and help us. And one of the songs we sang today, Trust and Obey, there really is a lot being said about trusting and obeying in Scripture. But we do want to take a look at the trust part for the most part today. In Psalms 33, in verse 20, you can turn there. We'll read through verses 21 and 22. But it declares that Yahweh is our help and our shield. Psalm 33, starting in verse 20. Our soul waits for Yahweh. Can we say this? He is our help and our shield, for our heart rejoices in Him, because we trust in His holy name. Let Your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us, according as we have hoped in You. And He will guide, going over to Psalm 48, chapter 48, starting there in verse 9. It tells us that He will guide. Psalm 48, starting in verse 9. We have thought on Your loving kindness, O Elohim, in the midst of Your temple. As is Your name, O Elohim, so is Your praise to the ends of the earth. Your righteous hand is full of righteousness. It's interesting. We can see a couple things here. As is Your name, it says, so is Your praise to the ends of the earth. In other words, His name is forever, just as He will always be praised. So why wouldn't we want to start now? I think we are doing just that today. Your right hand is full of righteousness. I think that's an allusion to the Messiah being the right hand of Yahweh, the Word of Yahweh. We can look at examples in Scripture of trusting in Yahweh. And I remember examples in my own life. I remember praying while it was terrible weather. I was on a motorcycle. And right now we can hear the rain falling out there. It feels like it's fall. At least it feels like it's coming. But I knew the conditions were not right to be on a motorcycle. And I had a lot of gear on, so I was protected in that sense. But I knew that I needed to put my trust in Yahweh. And I didn't know his name at the time, but I did call out to him and asked him for protection. And did it not only once, but twice. And I ended up, I think, receiving mercy and grace from Yahweh, because I was in a motorcycle accident that totaled the car, totaled the motorcycle, and almost totaled me. It wasn't a fun experience. I ended up spending time in the hospital, 3 days and three nights. And I don't know if there's any coincidence or anything that I should have been thinking about at the time, but it was a trial for me. But I do think that if I had not have prayed the best I could at the time, that I probably wouldn't be here today. There was another time even before that, in my late teens, when not everything was well in my life, but yet I knew that there was a Father, a Heavenly Father, and I lost control of a car, and it ended up going into a telephone pole. But before it did, I let go of the steering wheel, and I said, "Yahweh, it's in your hands." I said, you know, the title that I knew at the time. But the car went around and around and around, and I knew I had no control anyway, so might as well give it up to Yahweh. And anyway, I lived. The car didn't fare so well. But, you know, Yahweh works things out for us, and he can bring us through difficult times. And, you know, even a split second, like, you know, a car going out of control and you know it's out of your hands, you can let the steering wheel go, basically, and put it in Yahweh's hands, and he'll see you through it. You know, Abraham realized that he could trust in Yahweh. In Genesis 12, starting in verse 1, Now Yahweh said to Abram, this is even before his name was changed, "Go forth from your country." I think this is kind of what we're told to do in a sense, in a spiritual sense. We're sojourners in this world, waiting for a coming kingdom, waiting for a king. But he really should be ruling in our life right now. "But now Yahweh said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing." And we're told that we'll be blessed. You know, we find that even said by Yahshua himself, that those that leave family and others for him, for the kingdom's sake, much more will be given to them, both now and in the future. In Isaiah, verse 26, "And was Abraham blessed? You better believe it. And the promises that were told to him, Yahweh kept and are still being worked out." We know through the lineage of Isaac into Jacob. Jacob's name was changed into to Israel, overcoming with the help of El and his sons. And we know Yahweh is not done with Israel. He's still working things out. Isaiah 26, starting in verse 1. "In that day this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the one that remains faithful. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in you. Trust in Yahweh forever, for in Elohim the Sovereign we have an everlasting rock." It really put forth the emphasis, mentioning a rock, because rocks don't go away unless you try to break them up. But, you know, a rock that's everlasting, it's just that. It doesn't go away. It's there. It's solid. You can protect yourself with it. You can find shelter. We have another individual named Gideon in the scriptures in the book of Judges. And he trusted Yahweh too, but not initially. He had some difficulties. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 14, if you want to turn there, we find the angel of Yahweh speaking to him. In fact, it describes this angel of Yahweh as just Yahweh. I do think we're seeing the pre-existence of Yahshua at this point. Judges 6 and verses 14 through 16. Yahweh, again this angel of Yahweh, looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian," or the Midianites. "Have I not sent you?" You know, is this not my doing? Of course, we know that Scripture says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit," says Yahweh. And He does many great things with that Spirit. Many things we can't even comprehend at this point. But in verse 15 it says, "He said to him, O Yahweh, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." This kind of reminds me of Saul, Benjaminite, I can hardly pronounce the name. But it was one of the smallest tribes. And Saul didn't feel up to the task. He was very humble, almost scared to a certain point. But Yahweh had chosen him to go ahead and be the king over Israel. But that was kind of a forced situation because the people demanded a king. And they were told just what they would get with that king. So I think the lesson there for us, too, is to be patient, to wait for Yahweh. Let Him work things out. And we know that, like just with Moses, taking the Israelites out to to the edge of the waters, then the army came up from behind them. And the people were like, "Now what?" They didn't, they didn't know what was going to happen. But Yahweh was working things out. And he works things out in our life. We can come right up to a wall with an army behind us, and He can take down that wall for us and give us a way of escape, as He did with the Israelites. And, our enemies, we don't have to worry about them. We don't have to worry about men. We do need to be concerned about Yahweh and what He thinks. And we need to put our trust in Him. In verse 16 of Judges, chapter 6, it says, "Yahweh said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." And what did he do? Gideon went and thought he had 30,000 men to work with. And Yahweh said, "No, that's too many." So he got rid of, told Gideon to go ahead and get rid of about 10,000 departed. And then there's 20,000 left. That was still too many. Anyway, it got down to where there was only 300. And then Yahweh said, "Okay, that's enough." I can't imagine what Gideon was thinking, but he did trust in Yahweh. He did what Yahweh asked him to do. Though he did ask for like a sign, and that was provided. And you read of that through Judges chapter 6. But do we trust in Yahweh or in ourselves? Let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, starting there, going through 10. The apostles, Apostle Paul and others suffered. They went to the point of experiencing almost like a sure death. And that's how some commentators look at this verse, these verses here. 1 Corinthians 1, 9 through 10. "Indeed, we had the sentence of death." In other words, it was a sure thing. That's how this is being expressed. We had the sentence of death. It was like a judge said, "You're dead. You're to be executed. That's it." So we have the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves. When you realize that the car is out of control and anything you do with that steering wheel is not going to do anything, it's easier to let it go and to trust in Yahweh. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves. But in Elohim, who raised the dead, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. So through times of trouble and tribulation, Yahweh saves, protects, guides, directs, helps, shields, and is a shelter for us. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're going through quite a few scriptures, but I think we can get through these today. But there's much to be said about trusting in Yahweh. There's a plethora of scriptures for it. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1 through 7. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. In other words, don't forget to be merciful. Don't forget to stand up for what's right. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good report in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh. Now, why would it say, you know, favor and good report in the sight of Elohim and man? Well, just like going back to Moses. Moses disobeyed Yahweh, yes. But he did it in front of all of Israel, which just impacted the problem and the punishment, I do believe. And we're to have such an example in our lives that people look at us and go, hey, there's something different with that person. I'm not sure what it is, but, you know, men, maybe they find out later and then they go, wow. You know, and maybe they'll look into, the words of Yahweh and draw closer to him to also receive a change in heart and in mind like we've received. But in verse 5, it says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That's hard to do. When you see a wall up in front of you and you see an army behind you, I've never seen that, but I can imagine that would be a frightful experience. Yahweh says, trust in him with all your heart. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways, everything that you do. You know, Scripture talks about being in prayer continuously. I think, in a sense, we're to be in that spirit or attitude all day. We're to be thinking about what Yahweh would want, what Yahshua would do, what attitude we should have. Not only towards Yahweh, but towards men as well. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You know, we're making decisions on a daily basis. You know, is this right or wrong? What would Yahshua do? Is this according to Yahweh's word or is it not? We always need to make the right decisions. And we may not be able to see the outcome. But I've heard of stories where, one example, a gentleman, and this is a true story, this is in Africa, a gentleman was required to come in to work on the Sabbath. He didn't go. He knew he wasn't going to go. They said it was a requirement. He told them that he couldn't go. Well, there's tribal disputes, there are wars going on in Africa. And that place of employment that he that he chose not to go on that Sabbath, there was a war basically occurring there, and something happened anyway that caused the destruction and death of a number of people there. It's been a long time since I've heard this, but it was related as a true story, and I have no reason to believe it wasn't. But his life was spared because he was obedient to the Heavenly Father. You just never know what's going to go on, you know, after we make a decision. After you make a decision, it's sometimes too late to reverse and change. But Yahweh is merciful and he does help us. It's important that we do think about him throughout the day and consider each decision that we make that it's the right one and not the wrong one. Because there are consequences. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and turn away from evil. Simple enough. Hezekiah was another individual that trusted in Yahweh. In fact, he was a good individual. 2 Kings, chapter 18 of 2 Kings, starting in verse 3 there. He did right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all of his father, all that his father David had done. He removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. The Asherah poles, of course, which are, you even see them standing in Egypt. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for until those days the sons of Israel burned incense to it. So they took something that was supposed to be good, and they started worshiping it. And they did this again and again. They couldn't seem to get a grasp that they needed to trust in Yahweh completely and forever. Verse 5 of 2 Kings 18. He trusted in Yahweh, this is Hezekiah, the Elohim of Israel, so that after him there was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor among those who were before him. For he clung to Yahweh, and he did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which Yahweh had commanded Moses. And Yahweh was with him. Wherever he went, he prospered. We need to trust and obey. Yahweh didn't depart from Hezekiah because he clung to him. He obeyed him. He kept his commandments. And this is what we need to be doing if we want Yahweh to stay with us. It's important. We are to trust in his word. Psalm 119. Starting in verse 42. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. You know, we do have, I think, answers for those that reproach us, but sometimes they don't deserve anything. We should just keep our mouths shut. I was working and an individual came up to me, I think half jokingly, but he said, you worship the devil. And he said in such a way that it made me kind of mad. But I tried not to show my anger and just kept my mouth shut. I realized that with his personality and everything that it wouldn't have done any good to try to argue with him. So I just left it alone. But you know, there are times that we can speak up. There are times when someone raises their voice to us, we can raise it back and, you know, give them Yahweh's word or give them a word of truth. I remember Elder Don went to a prison one time, and he relayed this after coming back. But he said that the guard had said some smart remark, and Elder Don spoke up and said, you know what? I don't have to be here. And after that, the individual calmed down and proceeded to help. But there are times when we should speak up. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word, and do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I see your precepts. So many today say they have freedom. We have liberty. Well, King David even expressed this. I will keep your law continually, forever, and I will walk at liberty. There is freedom in walking in the law. Freedom from death. Freedom from harm. Because Yahweh says he'll be with us, he'll protect, he'll guide. Now the sons of Gad had their prayers answered. In 1 Chronicles chapter 5, the sons of Gad had their prayers answered because they trusted in Yahweh. There's a reason that protection comes. 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and starting in verse 19. They made war against the Hagarites, Jetur, Naphish, and Nodab. Verse 20. They were helped against them, and the Hagarites and all who were with them were given into their hand, for they cried out to Elohim in the battle, and he answered their prayers because they trusted in him. And I think sometimes we cry out when we're in the thick of it, when we're maybe being attacked by someone. We don't have time to necessarily think about what we're crying out to Yahweh for, but we know that we're in need of help, so we just cry out, help. And that's enough to allow Yahweh to intervene. But we do have our part to play. We need to cry out to him, to ask for the help. It's important that we do. Psalm 118. Better to trust in Yahweh than man. We find this is at the core of Scripture. Psalm 118, starting in verse 9. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to trust in man. Verse 10. All nations surrounded me in the name of Yahweh. I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me, yes, they surrounded me. In the name of Yahweh, I will surely cut them off. You remember King David, when he was a young man, how he ran out to the Philistine, who was taunting all of Israel, and therefore taunting Yahweh. And David ran out to him and said, basically, I come to you in the name of Yahweh. There is a strength and a courage that we can hold within ourselves. And I do think that that comes from Yahweh's Spirit. But we can boldly go before his throne, and we can boldly go ahead with the work that needs to be done and deal with those things that arise boldly, because we're given the boldness to do so. An example, Daniel chapter 3, where we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They all trusted Yahweh, even though faced with being thrown into a furnace, a hot furnace of blazing fire. Daniel 3, and starting in verse 12, there were certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. Of course, he had set up an image of gold, and he wanted the people to worship the gods that they had set up. But these men are being pointed out as not serving, though they do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?" You know, those in leadership positions tend to get maybe a little high-minded. I think Nebuchadnezzar was that way. Didn't he get dealt with because of that? Yahweh slapped him upside the head, and he ended up eating grass for 7 years. His hair turned feathery like a bird. Amazing. So you don't want to rise up in pride. But in anger, he addressed these men. He says, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music." Must have been some Scottish people there. "To fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast in the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there that can deliver you out of my hands?" Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." wow. Everyone around there must have been going, wow, they're dead. But they didn't die. You know the rest of the story. They were protected and they were helped because they trusted in Yahweh. Job 13, 15 through 16. You don't have to turn there, but Job says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. Even Job had boldness because he realized he was doing what was right in Yahweh's sight. For the most part, there was some issues that were brought to his attention. But this also will be my salvation, for an unrighteous man may not come before his presence. So Job had a little self-righteousness, I think, but he had courage, he had boldness, and he said, even though he slayed me, I will hope in him. So whatever happens, and a lot happened to Job, lost his family, reports kept coming in, your family over here died, your family over here died, your animals and everything's been taken away. You were left desolate, basically. Okay, I'm going to sit down and in sackcloth and ashes. Yahweh, you know, gives, Yahweh takes away. Blessed be the name of Yahweh, was his response. And it should be our response too. But is it? Is it always? I think there are times when it gets tough and we don't always act in accordance with his will. But we're striving, we're to overcome, we're to turn around and away from those things which aren't right. And we're to draw close to our Heavenly Father, because that's where, you know, life is. It's in trusting in Him. Through His Son, Yahshua, we're given His sacrifice for our own good. And thinking about Yahweh's name, Psalm 9, verse 10 says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. Prophecy, basically. For you, O Yahweh, have not forsaken those who seek you. So we're not seeking him for nothing. I mean, we realize that his word is truth, that his ways are right, and that the instruction that we're given is for our own good. It's just plain and simple. Let's turn here. This is Psalm 33, and this is one of the first verses that we open with. I think it's fitting to close with. Because we need to think of ourselves as the ones that are saying this. Let us be the ones who say, in Psalm 33, verses 20 through 22, our soul waits for Yahweh. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in Him, because we trust in His holy name. Let your loving kindness, O Yahweh, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. Hallelujah.